Go ahead.
Previously on the Phil Hendry Show.
San Antonio on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Hi.
Hi. My name is Joyce, and I'm from San Antonio, Texas.
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing?
I'm fine up until I listen to this segment of your show, and I'm about ready just to come right unglued. I cannot believe that this woman is trying to promote abortion.
Wait a second. I am a mother. I am a mother of three boys.
Hey, wait.
All right.
I am the mother of five children, and
that doesn't make you better than me. That doesn't make you better than me.
Which one of your children would you like to sacrifice for Christopher Reeve?
My children are not fetuses. My children were born. I'm talking about
children.
No,
you
what?
You are killing babies,
no,
and you are advocating.
They are fetuses.
You are a killer. You are a killer.
To help Christopher Reeve walk again. To help Christopher Reeve walk again. I'm a killer.
I don't care about Christopher Reeve. Christopher Reeve, God gave Christopher Reeve this burden. He did not give
you. Oh, God gave him this burden.
To kill babies. You are a baby killer.
So, in other words, you hate Christopher Reeve because he's a celebrity.
I have nothing to do with Christopher Reeve. Christopher Reeve lived a good life. He had a tragedy based on a poor judgment of riding horses, and I don't
think that's
the
case.
Around and trying to create people to kill babies to save Christopher Reeve.
All I'm saying, darling, is there are women out. Can I finish it? Let's not be so. Let's not be so emotional. Let me explain myself.
How many babies do you want to kill?
You are screaming and yelling like so many of these right-wing Christians. You're out of control.
You're out of control.
You're really out of control, and you need a shot of Demerol. All right, now number one.
All right, let her finish her point. You're not going to get anywhere by screaming over people. Let her finish her point, ma'am. And then you...
Well, Phil, these Christians, you can't talk to them.
Don't say that. Let the woman hear what you have to say. Then we'll let her respond, okay?
All I'm saying is this. These are women who are going to have abortions anyway. I'm giving them the money so we can get the fetal tissue over to Christopher Reeve so he can walk and be in a Superman movie again because we loved him in that. And we loved him in Sleuth, and we loved him in Somewhere in Time. Now, my children are grown and developed. They're already created. They're not some shrimp cocktail floating around in a woman's stomach. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, ma'am.
This woman is absolutely
crazy. Oh, here we go with your emotionalism again. Can't you address one intellectual point?
You know what really makes me sad about this? If there are people like this woman walking around wanting to sound
and
so
and there are people
listen,
like you. Oh, I see. You were jumping all over me.
All right, hold on. Let the lady in San Antonio finish. She allowed you to speak.
I listened to her. Now,
oh,
it's my turn.
God. I know
and I
want Christopher
to talk
Reeve.
Without her interrupting me.
I know David Duchovny.
I don't care who you know. I want to talk. It's my turn.
I will tell you
now,
this much, okay? If you met David Duchovny, you'd lubricate. You would lubricate.
All right, listen to what the woman's saying and quit talking so crudely.
She says it's no big deal knowing David Duchovny. If she met David Duchovny, who is one of the most sexy men, she'd lube up and...
Will you please have some decency?
I'm sorry.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you.
Go ahead, ma'am. Go ahead.
The thing that really appalls me is that there are people like this that talk so intellectually and so precisely and try to convince people that it is all right to go in and have an abortion. I want to know where this woman is in 3 to 5 years when that mother who gave up that child is in trauma because she committed a sin, really. And I don't care what this woman calls
it. Oh, please.
I'm telling you,
I've had three abortions, and I never felt one. I've never had one day of remorse.
Well, let's do this.
You're kidding.
I have a suggestion.
Yes.
On that woman's next firstborn grandchild, I would like to see her child, her son or daughter, have that baby aborted and give that cell tissue to Christopher Reed. She loves him so much and thinks he's such a special part of this world. I would like to know.
Did you see Superman? Because I can't believe.
Could I care about Superman? Could I care? He is only a person. This child,
and this child is only a person. Why do you give them more credit than Christopher Reeve?
You may have killed several Supermans by trying to give babies women abortions.
Newsflash, Superman is a fictitious character. Newsflash, Superman's fictitious. It was a movie.
Of course we have.
Newsflash.
Don't be sarcastic. The woman knows, okay? Now, Oh, we have to take a break. I thank you very much, ma'am, for your call.
Phil Hendry's Flashback.
Hello, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry's show here. By the way, speaking of movies, last night I've got my I got the suite over. We're watching because the wife's out of town. So the Swede's just moved up to where I live. He's moved out to Thousand Oaks. He was down in San Diego. The work down there is slowing up. He's on up to Westlake Village, up Thousand Oaks area. He's going to try to put in pools, put in spas and things, meet some of the women up there. The Swedes, you know, he's my age. We're longtime buddies. And he figures he can meet a few women up there, you know, with fake breasts. There's a lot of them there in the Vons and in the Gelsons. So he's got it made. He said he was in the Vons last night at Pavilions. He saw he saw hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of fake breasts going through the express line. He says, this is fantastic. He said, I'm in heaven. Anyway, the Swede says, I ain't got no TV. Can I come over and watch the Laker game? I said, yeah. So we, you know, we barbecued up some chicken, had a couple of Guinness Stouts. I'm watching the Laker game. They're blowing Sacramento out. It's, like, really boring. And so we flipped around a dial, and we came to this flick, Swept Away. You ever seen this? Okay, Swept Away is a Lena Wertmuller film. You don't know who she is. She's a director. Anyway, she made this movie back in the 70s, and it's about a rich woman who goes out on a yacht in the Mediterranean to sunbathe one day. And she's so wealthy that her husband's with her and they're wealthy friends. Well, she's so wealthy that she has a cabin boy. There are attendants, guys that work on the boats. Now, if you know anything about Italy, Italy has a communist party, a fairly strong communist party. Many of the working people are members of the Communist Party of Italy. This one cabin guy, this one guy that works on a boat, is a communist. So he's resentful of these capitalists. Well, this one blonde wife, good-looking wife of one of the guys, she says, I want to go swimming on that island. You there, boy, you take me. Giancarlo Giannini plays the communist cabin boy and this rich chick. I forget her name. They're both terrific. You, boy, you take me to the island. So he says, we or si or whatever the hell they say. And he, yes, senora. And he takes her on the boat and they hit a storm. And the storm sweeps them away to this island where gradually now they're the only two people and they're not rescued. Gradually, the social position between the two of them changes from her being the dominant dictatorial capitalist female to him now saying that you will do as I say, right? So the movie is now devolved into these series of scenes where he's going, kiss my hand, you lousy slut, you pig, you capitalist pig. And when you see the overdub, you know how it is. You know, it's like, you stinking pig, you are a whore, you are nothing but a harlot. You will kiss my hand. And she's going, you filthy Abyssinian, you are nothing but a Negro. You are apparently there is a social pecking order. There is a racial thing between Italians and Sicilians. The Italians consider the Sicilians to be fuzzy-headed Abyssinians. They consider them to be African. And there is a racism in Italy against Sicilians. So she's calling this guy. So gradually this dude changes the tables, and now he's got her cleaning fish. He's got her washing out his underwear. He's got her fetching him water. He's got her cleaning the house before he allows her to eat. And my friend the Swede is sitting there and says to me, as we're watching this movie, as she's running off to scrub this guy's underwear and fetch him another beer, he goes, man, this guy's got it right. This guy has got it so right. And I sat there, I said, geez, you know something? You're right, man. This is heaven. I mean, we're talking about this guy who is, he's exacting this sort of sexist revenge on this woman because she's a capitalist. He says, your pig friends and you lay around. You don't have your tops on. Your boobs are flashing out. You don't think we are men? We cannot have lust. We are lusting, you know. And he's really resentful of the fact that they're sunbathing with their tops off and everything. So finally, when he gets her on this island, he's telling her, you know, she's, you're nothing but a slut. You are a harlot. You will do as I say. Kiss your master's hand. And gradually, she becomes his slave. Not only his slave in terms of duties that she performs, but his love slave. She's in love with him. She likes being degraded by him. She likes being debased by him. He has successfully turned the tables. And now he's falling in love with her. It's no longer fun for him to abuse her. He loves her. So as the movie winds to a climactic conclusion, suddenly this capitalist woman has been degraded to the point where she is in love with her captor. And the captor, this communist cabin boy, has now been elevated to a higher level here because they're on a deserted island. It's the only two of them. And he's in love with her. And now they get rescued. Now keep in mind, this is when the Swede said, this dude's got it right. But the movie has changed now because they get rescued and they are taken back to the mainland. And as they step off the boat, what does this communist cabin boy guy who had successfully, he had succeeded in taming this wild, blonde, beautiful capitalist woman. He sees his fat wife and his six kids waiting on the dock for him. And she sees her wealthy husband waiting for her. And what do you think happens? What? The fat wife, he goes back to, he has to go back to the fat wife. He thinks that he's going to marry this blonde, beautiful chick. She goes back to her rich husband. And she doesn't do it in a mean-spirited way. She says, I'm sorry, but we're back to the real world. We have to go back to our roles. And he's got to go back to the fat wife. So first he's a piece of crap. Then he becomes king of the hill. And then he's back to being a piece of crap. All in the span of a two-hour movie. It was very interesting. Even though the Swede sat there and said, Jesus, look at her, man. She's scrubbing his underwear. This dude's got it right. Swept away. Go see it. Go rent it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show. This is Eddie Iglesias along with Art Harville, and welcome here to Madison Square Garden. This is another one of our Friday night fights here. A big fight planned for the fans here, Art. You'll have to say.
No doubt about it. We're going to have a pretty good fight here tonight with the fans. We got Maris Iglesias Gonzalez going against Lennox Lewis. I think this thing, I mean, I hope Lennox kills her, man. I can't stand her. I hate her so very deeply.
That's right. Maris Iglesias Gonzalez has earned the enmity of so many people across the country because after little Elian Gonzalez was taken from the family home, she was crying and wailing with a big, fat, ugly kisser there on TV, crying and acting like a big, fat baby. Oh, God, you wanted to smack her.
No doubt about it. I want to kick her ass. So tonight, Lennox Lewis is going to try to do the ball here.
Jesus, I can't understand you. So it ought to be a great fight here out to the center of the ring. There goes Billy Valentine here, who's the referee. Let's listen to what he's got to say.
What a clean fight. I want all you guys in the ring. You know, they stick it up your ass. You understand that? I'm all the same as mine.
All right, you heard him there. Told them all to shove up their asses, and so it's going to be a big one. There's the fight bell, and we're ready to go. Maris Iglesias Gonzalez, weighing 110 pounds against Lennox Lewis. Let's not forget, on Saturday night, Lennox Lewis going up against Grant. Ought to be a hell of a fight. Kind of a big one there. And here they go for this heavyweight bout as Maris Iglesias Gonzalez comes out of her ring there, dancing around, very spry, young Cuban-American woman. She's crying already. Nobody's even touched her.
Yo, look at that, man. Now she's bawling. No one even damn touched her.
That's a big right hand from Lennox Lewis. A big right hand, and now she's crying some more. What a baby. God damn it.
That's right, man. She'll cry. You hit her. I can tell he tagged her down a good right hand, and everybody looking around. Everybody, can you go get me a beer, kid? I really got, I want something to drink.
So Maris Iglesias Gonzalez is tagged very early. And listen to the crowd. They love it. They love to see her get smacked around. You know, ordinarily, you don't want to see a woman get smacked around. But why not? Why not see this broad get her face slapped because she's really pissing people off?
No doubt about it, man. Lennox Lewis laid a big hand there.
And it's a right hand for Maris Iglesias Gonzalez. She's got Lennox Lewis tied up. Lennox Lewis backed against the rope. Maris Iglesias Gonzalez with a low. She got a right hand. Hit her left. Hit her right. Hit her right to the head. Hit her left to the body. Hit her right to the head. Lennox Lewis, a standing A count now, as Maris Iglesias Gonzalez, humiliated by this crowd, came back with a flurry.
I love the right hand, the combination back letters up. You're gonna have to clear the cobwebs out of here. God damn, man, that's embarrassing.
Well, how about that fight, fans? As Maris Iglesias Gonzalez came away, she was knocked on her ass there, but came back with a standing eight count against Lennox Lewis. Maris Iglesias Gonzalez, age 19, goes to some school and off to some typing class every day and stands there in front of TV cameras crying about some kid she doesn't even know. She's really pissed off a lot of people, and tonight she is going to have an opportunity. Heavyweight championship of the world against Lennox Lewis in this first round.
Well, I thought some of the action there, Eddie, was very interesting. I think Maris Iglesias Gonzalez is going to have to come back. Because you can't, you know, you do the right hand.
We're on radio. Don't show me. Tell the people, okay?
Well, you got to come back with the right hand, left hand, the uppercut and over back, and all that thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Of course I don't. All right. Starting to think around there. Mara says she's Gonzalez coming out of a ring. God, just looking at her pisses me off. Lennox Lewis sizing her up. There's a right hand. Just a little tap. Little jab there. Lennox Lewis using the right hand, dragging the left foot. Now dragging the right hand and using his left foot. And she kicks him right in the nuts. Kicks him in the balls. A low blow there. She's given a standing eight count. Now a warning from the referee. A standing eight count. Timeout. There's an offside penalty against the Detroit Lions. This place is a mess.
She kicked him square in the nuts. God damn, man. I beat the crap out of there.
Well, she's not winning any points there as she ran back and kicked old Lennox right there in the ball sack. He's doubled over there. He's being attended to by the corner men.
That's bound to piss him off. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I don't deny that. You don't haul off and hit a man right there in the Royal American, right there in the nut sack, and he's not going to come out pissed off. He really is. Referee Eddie Valentine now bringing the fighters out from their neutral corners. Mara Slacius Gonzalez, she's crying. She hasn't stopped crying since she left the locker room. Why do you think she's crying there?
I don't know. I think it might have something to do with the fact she knows she's going to get her ass kicked. So she's been crying ever since she left the damn locker room. Bawling and crying, crying and bawling.
Mara Slacius Gonzalez has not stopped crying, whining with that kind of ugly look, you know, that kind of... look on her face. And Lennox Lewis is also there. Now Lennox Lewis with the right hand. Right hand from Lennox Lewis. There's a left hand from Lennox Lewis on the right. And that's blocked by... And there's a big uppercut and lays out Mara Slacius Gonzalez. She is laid out there, ladies and gentlemen. I can't believe it. She's been knocked on her ass by that big right hand from Lennox Lewis. And what's she doing? She's crying like a baby.
That's right, man. She's crying. All crying and everything else.
Lennox Lewis had laid her out there with a big right hand and saved by the bell, huh?
No doubt about it, Eddie. I've seen some good right. That's the best right hand I've seen Lennox do in a long time, except for the right hand he laid into me in that big fight we had in Vegas.
That's the one where he knocked your brains clean out of your right ear, right?
Yeah, I don't think too clear now, and I don't talk too good neither on account of Lennox Lewis.
Yeah, you're a real mess. You ought to see his face, too, folks. It's all messed up.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Yeah. All right, Eddie Valentine here, along with the great Art Heron. And Art, of course, had his little tussle with Lennox Lewis not too long ago in Las Vegas at Caesar's Palace. And let's just say that Art didn't smell too good after that fight. Start of the third round here. Third round. I would have to say that both those rounds go to Mara Slacius Gonzalez, Art, because of the fact that she was able to get some good right and left hands in there, although Lennox Lewis did lay her out there in the latter half.
I think Lennox is going to have to do something here, man. I think that... Oh, man, Lennox. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. I know you can do it. I know you got it in you, man. God damn it, nigga. Let's go.
And you're going to have to watch your language there, okay? There's a whole lot of white people out there that like to act really totally indignant whenever they hear that word, even though they don't really care.
Come on, baby, don't get cute, bit by that Cuban chick. He's gonna get cute here. He's gonna dance. He's gonna do a little dance. Don't get cute. Next thing you know, she's gonna do it.
Mara Slacius Gonzalez against Lennox Lewis here in the third round. Feeling each other out. Feeling each other up. Grabbing each other by the ball sack. Grabbing each other's breasts. Feeling each other's asses. Just doing a lot of things. Just feeling each other out here in the very early going. And there's a right hand there by Lennox Lewis. Staggering Mara Slacius Gonzalez. She is so stunned, she can't even cry. Her face is just dropped into a big stone coma in inducing frown, and she's staggering around the ring, and another right hand there, a right hand by Lennox Lewis, he gets another left hand, and a right, and a left, and a left, and a left, that's it, the fight is being stopped, as Lennox Lewis stops Mara Slacius Gonzalez here, with about 3 minutes left in this fourth round,
about 2 minutes, 57 left, man, that was beautiful, as beautiful, yo, Lennox.
My partner here, Art Harrell, has gone up to congratulate Lennox Lewis. He's going into the ring now. Let's hear it.
Hey, Mara Slacius, can I talk to you for a minute?
What?
Well, you fought a hell of a fight, didn't you?
Yeah, get away from me.
God damn it. I hate you so much.
He's going to a referee now, Eddie Valentine.
The winner by a knockout, Lennox Lewis!
On the Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Somebody said to me today, I don't want to say who, the company is talking to a guy in our company,
And I won't even say the name of our company. Because I like the company I work for, but at this particular juncture, the story that I have to tell probably wouldn't serve them well. He said, I'm talking to a guy, and he says, if only Phil wouldn't say, it's a guy apparently high up in programming, if only Phil wouldn't say, goddamn. And I said, well, you know, first of all, I don't say it. My guests do. He said, I know, but if only you didn't allow that. I said, if only I didn't allow goddamn what? Then what? If only I didn't allow that, then we're number one in every city we're in and all of our problems are over. Is that it? You know, I always love these people who say, you know what? Everything you do is great. If you just wouldn't do this one thing, then what would happen? What would if I just didn't do that one thing, what would happen then? If I eliminate two words from this show, are you telling me then we're going to be number one? Is that it? We will go right through the roof? Just those two words, Phil. Well, I personally don't believe it. I said yesterday, I know the heat that these guys are on. I know the heat that a lot of the programmers that carry my show are under. I'm going to tell you this, and you had better believe it. In 5 years, when we are dominating the world, and that's not to say that there aren't talented people out there, but we believe so much in what we do on this show, and it has been such a long time coming and has been so long in developing. Yeah, guys, if only you'd eliminate the words Phil Hendry, then you'd be... That when we finally do achieve the world domination that we know that we will earn, I said, you know, you're going to be good, man. You can say to everybody, you were on this show before anybody else. I know of a program director, a prominent program director, who had the Rush Limbaugh show right when it was out of the gate, back in 88, 89. And he pulled it off the air because Rush was doing these collar abortions, which is very funny. Forget about whether you're a conservative liberal. It ain't about that. It was just a funny bit. He was doing these collar abortions. He'd have a vacuum cleaner and a screaming sound effect. And this dude, a major market PD, who works in L.A. now, by the way, pulled the show off the air and thought he was being really, like, interesting in doing. You know, what an idiot. I mean, he was so lucky he got that show back. Because that guy's done nothing but make money for people. But this guy pulled it off because why? He got some phone calls. He got some people concerned. Now, I say to any PD out there, I say to any programmer out there that may be concerned about the kind of language that we use on this show, you go ahead and pull my show off your station if you want to. But you just remember this genius that pulled the Limbaugh show because of those collar abortions. And I think he was lucky enough to get it back. But a lot of these guys didn't. I mean, I really believe that's going to happen with our show. I really honestly do. I haven't worked this long and this hard to see this thing go up in smoke. It's just not going to happen. I would be honest with you. If I really thought we had a show that just freaking blew on ice, I would tell you, man. But I know that pound for pound, day after day, we deliver more than any other show. And I just do. And because I also believe that I've worked too hard to see this thing not win, we're going to succeed. And so, you know, if you're going to get nervous about some of the things we do in this program, we don't do anything gratuitously here. You know, we don't have our characters and guests using goddamn in a gratuitous sense. It has to do with the character, and it has to do with the kind of character that we're doing and what that character represents to the point that we're trying to make. That's what you call thinking it out, okay? I'm not just whirling in here with 3 minutes. I saw an article the other day in the Orange County Register by Gary Lykin about Kelly Lang, and he actually wrote the following line. Something about how she's on top of her game. She came whirling into the studio with just minutes to go before the start of the show. Kelly Lang went whirling into the studio, he writes, with just a few minutes to go before the start of the show. I'm here 4 freaking hours ahead of the start of my show. What are you whirling in with 3 minutes to go before the start of the show? That's not anybody's going to win. I mean, with all due respect, it's just not. It's not somebody who's going to win whirling in there with 3 minutes to go. Why? You were feeding the dogs? What the hell were you doing? I get here at 1 o'clock, sometimes 12:30, sometimes 12 o'clock. I'm going to beat Schaefer one of these days. He's here at like 12:15. I'm getting here at 10, starting Monday. My wife says it's okay. You know, so, and the reason why I say that is because everything that we do, we make a point with what we do on our show. And when you're doing that and you are mapping it out specifically that way, then you have to have certain things to make that point. You have to give characters certain characteristics in order for them to be more real and to carry what you're doing on the air. Now, if you don't get that, if you don't understand that, if that's something that they only do in television, or if that's something that's like, hey, man, this is radio. We're not talking about art here. Well, then you know what, pal? Pull my freaking show. I say that with all due respect. Nothing's going to change here. When I got a guy saying to my agent, which is who he was talking to today, if only Phil wouldn't say goddamn, I don't say it the way some guys say it. I'm not doing it because I got nothing else to say. I use those terms and those words in the context of a character that we're presenting and a point that we're trying to make and a presentation on the show that is theatrical in nature and humorous and is, you know, endeavoring to make a larger point. We know what we're doing every step of the way on this program, unlike a lot of other guys' shows that come whirling in there with 3 minutes to go before it starts. We know what we're doing. If only Phil wouldn't use those words, what? What do you guarantee me then, Ace? What do you think's going to happen then? The more you give in, the more you change who you are, the more vanilla you become, the less respect your program is going to garner, and the less the audience is going to smell it. They smell it. I'm telling you, they're going to sense the watering down of the program. They're going to be on you like dogs on fresh red meat. Because if there's one thing I know about a radio audience or a TV audience or anything else, they smell and sense when you're starting to vanilla your product up and starting to soften your product up to try to make them happy. They don't like it. I don't give a crap if they call you and tell you how wonderful that Phil Henry show has been ever since he stopped saying goddamn, because I don't need grandma, okay? I'm, with all due respect. So stop using those two or those four words, Phil, goddamn and Phil Henry, and your show's going to be fan. Start calling yourself Dr. Laura, and I really think that you're going to, this is the Dr. Laura show. If I called myself Dr. Laura continuously for like a month, do you think people would believe they're listening to the Dr. Laura show? You want to know something? I think they would. They'd start writing it down in their little notebooks and whatever they write those things down in that I'm not supposed to mention. All right, a little note here. We're going to be on Futurama a week from Sunday. I will be guest starring on Futurama, and I play the part of a character named Waterfall. And it's a great show, and I hope you'll watch it. That'll be a week from Sunday, Futurama. That's 7 o'clock Pacific and Eastern. And Futurama has been moved around on the schedule there on Fox. I'll just give you a personal opinion. I don't know whether they're trying to kill the show at Fox. Just give it a place to be, all right? Because it's a very funny show, and the people who work on it are tremendously talented. And I said it yesterday, and I want to say it again, because you know what? I don't do that many of these, and when I do, I think that it's nice to point out the great people who work on these programs, Katie Segal and Billy West and John DiMaggio, and really tremendously talented people. And that program is funny as hell, and, man, I hope it's with us for a long, long time, even though they keep moving it around. They keep moving it around because they want to make all that other crap they got on that network try to, actually have some legs. And so far, they can't. I guess the only guy they got over at Fox right now, they got King of the Hill and they got Matt Groening. They got Mike Judge and Matt Groening, and that's it. And then they got Malcolm in the freaking middle, which they'll probably mess that up. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. This is the Phil Henry Show.
And you're listening to Classical Connection. This is David Niedenfuhrer, your congenial host this evening on 104.3. You are listening to the music of Dvorak. This, of course, you can tell, is the Slavonic Dance Number 1, Opus 46. The Hungarian National Philharmonic Orchestra, led by Adam Fischer, with a very tasteful and almost bucolic rendering of the master's work. Let's listen, shall we? And remember, of course, that all of your donations go directly to... Wow! Oh! 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 Oh!
God damn, Eddie, man, what's up with you dropping that damn brick, baby? God damn, hold it. I don't play no damn music, man. You dropped that thing on my foot.
I didn't mean to.
I don't give a damn you mean to. I'm doing the classical damn music. You dropped the thing on my foot, baby.
What are you gonna do?
I gotta go and start all over again. What the hell you mean I do? Oh, jeez.
Here, let me look at that.
Oh. I'm on the air and everything. Yeah, I'm on the air and everything. And you come out doing that? Man, that's wrong, man. That's wrong. I work my ass off.
Try it again.
All right, let me try it again.
Okay, where was I?
Pardon me for that interruption. A Mason's brick was... dropped on my foot by my cousin Edward, who is helping me remodel the men's room here at beautiful 104.3. This is the Music of Dvorak. I am David Niedenfuhrer. Good afternoon and welcome to Classical Connection. The Heinrich Himmler Chorale will be performing at the downtown Oswego Arena on Saturday evening, along with the Hitler Youth Choir. Tickets are available now. Another thing that I'd like to point out is that...
Oh! Ow! Yikes! Jesus, man! What you do now?
I was playing some softball.
Yeah, and I took a foul ball off my gonads! If you guys are gonna play baseball, man, don't do it in here! I took a direct hit right to the sack area.
I'm sorry.
Man, I am trying to do a good thing here, man. I'm trying to do the right thing here, all right? I got a classical connection and everything.
I think it's fag stuff.
I don't care if you think it's fag. I love it, and I'm trying to do this thing, man, because I'm up for the gig over there.
That's bullcrap.
Bullcrap? Go play baseball outside, man. Oh. Ooh. Ooh. Wow, that hurt.
Try one more time, man.
All right, take two.
Take two. Take four. I want to get this gig, man. You understand?
I know.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, man, it hurts, man. It hurts. Look at it. It's swollen, too. Okay, here we go.
And good evening. Welcome to Classical Connection, your connection to the frivolity and the wonderful bucolic nature of classical music. I'm David Niedenfuhrer. Listen as we exult, as we luxuriate in the sounds of Dvorak. I listen to this music and I quiver. Yes, I'm a heterosexual, and yet when I hear the strains, the sounds, I almost want to...
Ow! Jeez!
All right, come here for a minute. Oh, please don't hurt me. Ow! Ow!
That'll teach you to play in here.
Yeah, it's swollen, Eddie.
I know it's swollen.
Keep going.
Let me see. Oh, yeah.
I hope you'll join me every Saturday evening at 8 for Classical Chorale, right here on the Classical Connection 104.3 FM. I simply love the sound of the thing, and we'll turn it down, please. I simply love the sounds of the music, the way that things waterfall. Screw it.
What do you know?
Can't do it, man. My nuts hurt.
Bill Henry.
Take yours too! You're f***ing lame.
Well, you're not going to eat anything from me.